I'm Noah.
And this week we are doing
1998, Rushmore.
1998?
Yes.
Is that long ago?
Yes. 1998 is like, how long ago? That's 28 years ago now.
How old is Wes Anderson?
Wait, before you check, can I have a crazy guess?
Yeah.
I want to go like 1968.
He was born 1969.
Oh, is that crazy? No, I just kind of, he's
56 he gets, years old.
He's 56. That's younger than I thought he was. Old. That's way younger than I thought. This is so weird because this is the first Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson is a bit exempt of age. Like, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if he was like 80, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he was like 35.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even think about how old this guy is.
Like, Rushmore could have been made by like a fully grown man or by a 15-year-old.
Exactly.
Like, and both ways, it's kind of fine.
This is so weird because this is the first Wes Anderson movie we get to. And like when you have like a film podcast, you think Wes Anderson would definitely
turn up a lot.
Turn up like.
But instead, we chose Surf's Up. So,
yeah, exactly. Like it's really where we've chosen like a lot more rogue movies to go and surf in. But let's start.
Real culture. I'm not getting called pretentious by anyone. I talked about Surf's Up before I talked about Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
What do you think of Wes Anderson?
I have some complicated hot takes about Wes Anderson. He's a great director. Don't get me wrong. He's a great director. Like he's one of the all time greats. Modern all-time greats, I think is a fairer statement.
Yeah.
But that being said, if you take away his iconography, like his cool little quirks that make his movies mm-hmm. recognizable, I don't think he's as great.
What do you mean by that?
Like his style where everything's, you know, kind of like a pop-out book as a movie and all of the things are like perfect and it feels like you're playing with a doll's house as a film. If you take that kind of aspect away, I don't think he works as well.
I think, in my opinion, like, I mean, okay, I'm going to power that.
But no hate, he's
amazing. I there was a moment where, like, I cannot get enough of this guy's, like, work. Because, like, oh my God. It's just, like,
it's
both really, like sophisticated and really childish at the same time.
Yeah, I kind of like that it's weird because it looks like it's really, sophisticated. But then the humor is, like, so...
It's kind of like
immature.
It's yeah, but like the writing is like really like the writing, like his writing is really good, and I just love.
Yeah, like again, Budapest Hotel, you get that the most.
I know,
but it's just like Ralph Fiennes' character is just so immature.
Exactly,
and yeah,
like
you've
got characters who are like having like you know fights with like literal like children, like grown men having fights with children and stuff like that, and it's like. For me, his movies are, like, in this world where, like, where we have a lot more, like, CGI and just, like, you know, like...
It's so real.
For me, it's just, like, in a world where, like, everything looks really fake and we value, you know, kind of, like, you know, franchises and stuff like that. It's so cool to go back to these kind of movies that are just, like, feel a lot more, How do I say it? They just, yeah, you're right.
I gotta say, whoever said Wes Anderson should direct a Roald Dahl movie was so on point. When you were like looking, when you're like watching Rushmore, it feels like one of those like short stories you do in like, where he's like, it feels like a Roald Dahl book in the same way that it's like kind of childish.
And
it's
exactly, like they really complement each other in a really good way because it's like, Roald Dahl is, if you go back to his writing, because
like
you know you might think that not even just his adult stories, you might think that oh Roald Dahl, he's the guy who made those children's stories. You go back and read
Lamb to the
things,
Slaughter's Priest.
They are those are the short stories. You know, like Lamb to the Slaughter. You know, the man from the South. You know, but I'm talking about like his children's work. You think that he's a children's writer? No, he's like a lot of his stuff are really like twisted, really, really screwed up, really mean stuff.
Like the twits is.
Not even just the twist. Really all of his stories are just so, so mean. Well, sometimes for not really any apparent reason.
He's just like a horrible guy. But yeah. I don't know what everyone has in his mind that he's like the sweetest like old
exactly.
man who writes
and
kids'
you,
books.
You can, yeah, and you can kind of see that
like,
in West.
Multiple people die in his kids' books.
Exactly.
They just like fully
you, they,
die.
They make fun of all kinds of people. Some that have not held up like as others. But, you know, it's...
I think the only one that's like actually pure children's book is like Danny Champion.
No, even that one.
That's not
that one. Even that one. No, I think that one's actually a lot more sophisticated than.
Yeah, but it's not like very like it doesn't have the mean like in James and Giant Peach where they're just horrible. Everyone's horrible.
Everybody like in so many things, like so many people, everybody's just like irredeemable. The world is a horrible world, and that's just what you gotta live with. You know, like Lamb to the Slaughter. I just want to talk about that. That's just like.
What the hell, man?
What possesses you to write that? Like, if you know, you know. I can't spoil the ending of that one, because, Jesus.
How the hell did you come up with that, by the way?
Exactly.
How do you go like, you know what would be great ending to this story? Yeah. Like,
and you see that, like, you know, like, when Wes Anderson made Fantastic Mr. Fox, it's like, you know, his style of writing is, It really does complement it. And Fantastic Mr. Fox, you watch that. It's very, I keep using this word, but very sophisticated, you know? It's a very sophisticated.
It is, and it is.
It is. No, it really is. It's like, it's one of those animated films where it's like, and there's very few of them definitely nowadays that you like, you know, like, oh, an adult could watch this. And it's like.
It's quite deep. But it is also still a kids movie. But
no, I mean, don't think it. I don't. Think, it's quite. I don't think of it as a kids movie.
It's there's some quite like deep lines. I mean, it's pretty like cliche and like really well known. But when he's like, I don't want to live in a hole anymore, and it's quite deep stuff in there.
Exactly.
But then there's also still scenes where they're like fighting a rat.
Yeah. So.
Or like, there's some scenes in it that are like that. It still reminds you that it is still within the universe of a kids story.
I think so. I don't think it's like we're supposed to be talking about Rushmore right now, but I just want to like finish this because like I think Fantastic Mr. Fox is like that scene where he's like, you know, like, oh, what am I, Kylie? And it's just like it's subtle, but like it's in your face, but it's subtle at the same time. You know, I think it's great. And honestly, like that year, Up got nominated for Best Picture, and you didn't give one to Fantastic Mr. Fox. But you gave it to Up, seriously?
Up.
Like I don't know, man. Like that was clearly a choice made by them. I haven't seen Isle of Dogs. I haven't heard like amazing things about Isle of Dogs.
I haven't. I think problem is with a guy like Wes Anderson, it's really.
I think Isle of Dogs was that one where it's like okay.
It's really stylized.
You're clearly just like a lot of people say that in that one. He's kind of like he's even just like. Mocking, like not even mocking, he's just like parodying his own style at that point. Where it's just
it's like
okay,
very aggressive.
Here are the kind of people we're supposed to have in this movie. Here is the kind of like style we're supposed to have. It's more, it's less so. This is a style I want more. I'm Wes Anderson. This is the kind of thing that was supposed that Wes Anderson does.
It is.
Yeah,
there are some things that you can definitely say about what you know have some issues.
Yeah,
you know, there's.
And fresh, I feel that with French Dispatch as well. It's very,
you know, he uses the same cast in almost every movie.
I know.
There's always the same style and colors.
Same kind of like.
He writes, it's kind of the same thing.
I know.
It's a shtick, but it works.
It works. And like Asteroid City is one that I actually like quite enjoyed because, I don't know, like. I don't know what it was about Asteroid City where it was just like, that was one that in this kind of modern era of Wes Anderson, like kind of actually clicked with me. That I actually like really kind of like vibed with. I don't know. Because since like Astro City's, like since Fantastic Mr. Fox, I didn't actually really vibe with Grand Budapest as well.
I kind of like
I don't
Grand
know
Budapest.
What it was about it. It just was not my thing.
Should we get back to Rushmore?
Yeah. Rushmore is weird because it's Rushmore before. Was... It's still got Wes Anderson's style.
But it's still indie enough that you don't feel like,
yeah,
oh,
it's
Wes
it's
Anderson.
It's before Wes Anderson kind of goes full. Wes Anderson,
he goes crazy, like
Pixie Kid.
My movies are going to be in art museums.
Exactly.
Like, he's still like, although yeah. I'm looking at some pictures from the set and he looks very much like a crazy guy.
Yeah, I know.
So Owen Wilson co-wrote this.
So, yeah. So basically, he went, so what film school did he go to? I want to say he went to film school.
Yeah, Owen Wilson co-wrote this.
Yeah, so he went to the University of Texas in Austin, where his roommate was, wow, it's Owen Wilson. it's Owen Wilson.
Wow.
And so, wow.
It's Lightning McQueen himself. Ka-chow.
Yeah, so like, yeah, so they were both roommates together, and their first film was
Have you seen the Cars SNL sketch where they actually got Owen Wilson in.
So weird.
and the guy who voices me.
No, no, that wasn't him. That was.
Oh no, he's a cast. But they actually got Owen Wilson.
I know, I know. I think they even like making cars for because you know screw original ideas. So they both went to the same school. They both went to the same school together, and they made the short film Bottle Rocket in. I want to say 1993.
Oof, couldn't tell you.
Bottle Rocket from 1993, and you know that kind of got the attention of you know producers, and they made a film of Bottle Rocket in 1996. Okay, here it says Martin Scorsese called Bottle Rocket one of the top 10 films of the 1990s, which that's no short that's quite a lot of praise. Bottle Rocket didn't make any money. Clearly, it made less than $1 million on a budget of $5 million. But as far as I can tell, like it was still enough. Where let me see, Rushmore was he wrote Rushmore years before that he ever made Bottle Rocket because it was based on his time at the school called St. John's in Texas, and it was originally supposed to be made with New Line Cinema. They couldn't have agreed with the budget, but Joe Roth, who was the chairman. Then chair of Walt Disney Pictures, he offered them a budget of $10 million.
Jesus.
Which, you know, that's, you could do a lot with $10 million.
That's a lot of money.
You know? So, what do you think of, without the way, what do you think of Rushmore?
It's cool. I like it. It's cool. It's like Wes Anderson does, like, Boyhood.
Yeah,
Cool. I like it. There's some cool jokes. It's fun. It's well written. It's a good movie. There's not really much more. It's a good movie. I think it's well shot.
I think he hasn't gone like full on crazy Wes Anderson at this point.
with the little like windows opening. Yeah,
but you still I like it. Like it's like it's done. It's again like it's thinking outside the box. It's really cool.
It's done as a
play.
Yeah.
Where like you have curtains and stuff like that, and they'll tell you what season it is, and like what it's. For me, it's the little things.
It's cool,
you know. And the writing, I think the writing is really good.
That being said, there's some assholes in this movie. There's some horrible people. I mean, the entirety of Bill Murray's character is just awful. Everything about him is awful.
For me, he
gets into a petty fight with a small child.
That's what I love about Wes Anderson. It's just like the stupid things.
And then he still turns up. To his also, sorry, pivot. That Max himself,
yeah,
basically tells everyone his dad's a brain surgeon, his dad to be like a hairdresser.
And that's kind of mean to the dad because he's such a lovely guy.
His dad's so sweet.
Exactly. And then this is probably the strangest love triangle I've ever seen in a movie before.
It's a 12-year-old boy, a first grade teacher, and a like grown man.
Yeah, who's married as well. And like, okay, let's, it's a little weird because, okay, kids are gonna have crushes on teachers. Like, that's a thing that happens. Yes, that's what happens, okay?
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying.
I'm kidding.
Kids will like teachers, okay? That's not the issue. That's, as long as it's not, you know, like, felt the other way, that's fine. In this movie, it's done in a really odd way where even though he constantly makes advances onto her, one, she said stop, and he says, okay, I'll stop, proceeds to not stop. And then she gives him way too many chances past the point of like, why are you still like...
She also does some really weird stuff, like... When he turns up with a minor abrasion to his head that's like kind of bleeding in the rain, she lets him into her bedroom. And talks
about her
ex-husband.
And it's like,
also, have you heard there's like this whole thing that Max was deliberately made to parallel her husband?
Yeah. Doesn't she say like, you have your husband's eyes? I'm like, okay, what? Like, come on. Like,
Wes Anderson's being a little creepy.
No, it's not. It doesn't seem intentional, but like in a kind of story like this where like a student has a crush on a teacher. Of which there are many. You kind of have to do one of two things. You kind of have to like not give the student what he wants, okay, mm-hmm. and like, or like kind of like teach him a lesson at the end that proves that like this is not the right thing, and they don't really do either in this movie. Like they don't kind of like they like yeah okay he gets sent to the state school, okay, but it doesn't really seem like he's like learned anything from there. I don't know. Is that just me that like this movie's always felt kind of anticlimactic because there's not really a moment where I'm like, oh yeah, he's completely like learned his lesson or anything like that.
Basically nothing happens. He's a horrible guy the whole film. And then he puts on a play and everyone's like, wow, you're so great. Come back to the school.
No, he doesn't. I think he doesn't go back to the school.
Yeah, that whole thing where also the school is just so odd. Like, you know, the montage where it's just all of the extracurriculars he's done. And then it's like, Max, your grades are awful. You're going to leave the school. And it's like,
right. That's the worst, you know.
Yeah. You know, like, it's like, but you let me in. We've ever had. You let me in on a scholarship. Do you remember why? Yes. I wrote a story. You wrote a story, Max. Let me stay at the school. Who's going to run away? And then he's got this weird, like, little small henchman that follows him around.
Oh, yeah. And like, for me, it's like, what was I going to say? It's like, oh, I've completely lost my train of thought here.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll give you a minute. Yeah, so Brian Cox is in this movie. That's cool.
What's wrong with Brian Cox?
I just said that's cool because like he's never.
Usually
been,
when you do that, that's cool.
No.
Brian Cox did something awful.
No. I'm just like he hasn't been in a single one since then. That's just like kind of.
But
interesting.
There's always one member of the cast is like this random throwaway dude who's like a cool cat. Like it's a bit like SNL. They have like a recurring cast and then they just have like one random dude who's kind of in the movie for one time.
Yeah, I know.
Like in this, you've got Brian Cox, and then in Grand Budapest Hotel, you've got Ralph Fiennes, and then in Mr.
Fantastic. Has he not been in anymore? No. That is Fantastic so Mr. weird. Fox? That is honestly so weird, because I just think of him as a classic, like, Wes Anderson actor.
No, at all. Fantastic Mr. Fox, you've got George Clooney.
Yeah,
Scheme,
that's a good
point. Benicio Del Toro.
You've got Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman. And Michael Cera, and what's his name, in Sound of Metal. Ah, Riz Ahmed's in there as well.
Yeah, and it's like, you know.
You'll have Tom Hanks, but you'll have a bunch. No, but he's in quite.
Astro City's an old one, because like you've got a bunch of those people who are like, what are you doing here? Like, what's Scarlett Johansson doing in a Wes Anderson movie? You know, it's weird. That kind of stuff is like really.
Cranston in Isle of Dogs.
Yeah, you've got like one-offs.
I feel like he's
movies.
Been in another one.
Nope.
Oh, he's been Astro City. Yeah, Walter White was in Astro City.
Heisman.
Yeah, so I love a good Wes Anderson soundtrack, don't you?
Yeah.
It's always quite interesting. Cause some movies they'll have like actual songs in there. Like proper like the and then sometimes they'll just have these little like tinkly piano soundtrack.
No, it's both. I feel like there's both.
Yeah, it kind of
What's your favorite Wes Anderson like okay, let's go from like
Oh my god.
Okay, what's your favorite Wes Anderson soundtrack? Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Or I did like the Rushmore one. I liked all the like random noises.
Yeah, he likes what's it called? British Invasion music, like a lot. I don't know.
It's weird because I don't think of Wes Anderson as the kind of guy to have like real music in his soundtrack.
Yeah, no, but he's got Cat Stevens. He's got like The Who in like
Elliot Smith.
Exactly.
He's
like
he's got Elliot Smith.
Yeah, and
World He's the most depressed dude ever.
You know, like, I don't
Poor even... Elliot Smith, man.
But no, for me, it was like, I didn't know that much about the British invasion, honestly.
The,
so, like,
the video
yeah.
of Elliot Smith playing it, like, on a talk show. And he's just like, he just looks so sad. And then he's like, this is a song called Clementine. And then he just starts, like, playing it on the sofa. It's so sad. And then he did one with the Muppets. And all the Muppets are around him when he's singing. It's so sad.
Yeah, so like, yeah, and it's basically in most of his things, like, you know, he uses a lot of British invasion for some reason. I think it's just like, I think that's just like the kind of music he likes. I don't know. And I think, you know, it's opened my eye quite a lot because I don't think I probably would have ever just like cared, you know, about any of this music, you know, without that.
Not the Muppets, some random pop.
I have not. Have you seen Life Aquatic with Steve
Zissou? I haven't really seen that many Wes Anderson movies.
Sue George, the Portuguese singer, he's in it. He does all the music.
That's cool.
Oh, it is cool. I haven't seen it because...
Has he got one... Does Wes Anderson have one consistent guy who does most of the soundtracks?
Yes. Alexander... Is that it? Desplat? Desplat.
Desplat? Oh, he's quite thin.
Yeah, I feel like he's quite like a prolific.
Yeah. Did he?
Oh, okay.
Shape of Water. Frankenstein. Yeah.
Which is so weird because like nothing else I've ever seen...
What's your favorite... Okay, cool question. What's your favorite composer and director like duo? Do you think it works
Tim Burton, Danny Elfman.
That's a valid
doesn't rule. Even that's all that so all valid. Spielberg and Williams
less so
the amount of gold they spit like
I think it's not specific enough. Spielberg and Williams, like, it's cool, but it's not like, yeah, okay, Williams does loads of people. He's like I know
I understand.
It's not like a single unity. I think with Burton and Elfman it's more like, specific.
Oh, that is
you yeah. See, Elfman helped produce A$AP Rocky's new album and Burton did a cover art for it.
I saw that. Cool. That was pretty cool.
Except I listened to it and it's like, Elfman did not make this at all.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. But I saw the cover. I was like, oh. Okay.
I really cool. like, well, of course, I really like Safdie and One Trick Pony Never. Purely because I think it works really well. More than like, oh, I really like the Safdie Brothers. Like, the way the actual music works is really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah. I like... interesting that you'll have like one music guy for most.
Yeah, I know. I don't... it's not, I think like most directors do actually do that, honestly. You know, most directors have just like one singular music.
Because they get
guy.
Friends and stuff.
No, but like, I think it's just like a lot easier, honestly, on you. Like, you know, you've got one guy, you know. It's the same thing with actors, you know.
If Hitchcock you're... and Herman, apparently.
Oh, but no, I think Herman's best
Nolan
work.
Nolan and Zimmer.
In my opinion, Herman's best work is Cape Fear, which, you know, that's not Hitchcock. Mm. You know, I love, you know, Cape Fear. That's.
I mean, to be fair, I think one. We can count Spielberg and Williams because that's 40 years.
That is 40 years of just like genuine, like just like love classics that everybody knows. Yeah.
David Lynch has a pretty cool guy. Apparently, Angelo Badalamenti did his music. It's pretty cool. Mm. Damien Chazelle and Justin Hurwitz. I don't know why I didn't bring that up. Mm. Whiplash, La La Land. Mm. Those two specifically because the jazz music and that is
told
like.
You, I already told you I don't vibe with La La Land.
Okay, but the music is amazing, composing wise.
I'm not going to get into my views of La La Land. And, we'll be here for a while.
David Fincher and Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross is amazing. Amazing. But I do agree that PTA and Greenwood, I'm a Radiohead sucker, so I mean, I have to say that. But that is an amazing duo that works really well. And the level of like width that they can do, like the breadth of like different genres is crazy.
Yeah.
Did you see Phantom Thread? One of their songs was in the Melania documentary. And they just, like, completely revoked it. They were like, that's not cool.
Yeah, I did see that.
Jesus, like, Bernard Herrmann was spitting gold for, like, Citizen Kane, The Birds, like, North... What? Wait, The Taxi Driver, like, everyone's spitting gold till... Like, actually, like, mad respect. Okay, let's play the box office game again.
Do you want me to do it to you, or do you want me you to do it
I'm
to
gonna
me?
Do it to you, because, like, 1998 is gonna be so easy, like... can I... Okay.
Do you see...
Okay, can I... Let's see how much Rushmore made, because I just want to see...
Not that. Enough to be on the thing.
Oh, gone though. on a budget of 9 to 10 million, it made 18 million.
That's decent.
It's more than... Is that an... I don't really know, like, box office that well. Is that enough to break even? Is that a profit? 10 million. It cost 10 million, and you made 18 million.
Yeah. You break even if you make the same amount.
Especially then, because that was the blockbuster heyday. So like
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
As long as you make the same amount that you have spent on it, you break even.
I think this was a really popular, like, cult classic in, you know, VHS.
Yeah, and it...
It also made a lot of movie money after. Yeah, and...
Yeah, and, like, you know, his next movies would definitely, you know, make so much more. But this is really the one that started his
It's cool
career.
To see the little, like, weird indie movie before they got big.
I know.
With all directors, like... I mean, I don't know which one you would count Fincher's as. Because, I mean, I guess it's, like, The Game was the first
one. Oh, you
one.
Mean, like, the, like, kind of, like, watershed moment
yeah,
for them?
Yeah, it's, like, his big moment.
Seven was probably... But that it's his, like, a little weird indie movie before it all goes crazy. Although, I think The Game is probably the one that... Because it's slightly before... It's 1997. Oh, no, it came
after. Like, that was his, like, follow-up.
Yeah, I guess Seven is his, like, freaky, cool little movie. And, like, all directors have it. It's quite cool to see the little, like, pre-Watershed moment. Mm. And you see all their style, like, before it gets all big and pretentious.
I know, that's also... That's...
Like, Nolan, if you look at Memento, that's, like, his cool little, like, weird indie movie where he's not like, look at me, I'm so smart.
Like, you know, you see, who else? You see, like, Barton, and you watch, like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and that's just, like...
It's everything that's
Okay, it's not kind of weird. It's very weird. But it's not, like, his, like, it's not his style, you know, just yet. There's very few directors who are kind of, like, out the gate. Their like, style is, like, right there.
Really there. Yeah. I think the thing is that he made... Seven his first movie.
Yeah.
That's a crazy...
Well, he did Alien 3.
Oof. Yeesh.
Jeez.
He said he took his name off.
Why? Is, what?
Did he give it to the name? When no, you said directed by...
I think he just distanced himself. I think he's officially still listed.
It's not great. Yeah, it still says it's directed by Fincher. But I think Seven... It's because he kind of stuck with that style for a long time. And then he kind of did... Zodiac and The Social Network, and that's kind of where he started like branching into some like different worlds, because then he did like The Case of Benjamin Button, which is really different, and Gone Girl is quite different. Well, I mean, it's he started going more into the like thrillery zone than the like pure violence.
Yeah,
Wes didn't do that. He's kind of stayed on,
he kind of stuck in his track.
Fair enough. I don't know, if whatever floats your boat.
It makes you funny. As long as you still like what you're making, I think that's all that matters.
It's not like... I know. It's, yeah, it might. Okay, let's play the box office game. Okay, number 10 is... How do they make four of these things? Like, they made four, and at least in our year group, the lack of, like, cultural relevance it has is somewhat astounding. It's directed by Richard Donner. I think if I give the lead out to it, it'd probably be like...
They made four of it, and it was astoundingly little. Terminator.
It stars Danny Glover? No, like Terminator. Danny Glover.
What else has he been in?
Color Purple.
Yeah, he's in Royal Tenenbaums.
Yes.
Danny Glover. What does he look like? If I search it up... is the first movie that comes up going to be it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, it will! Stop!
Maybe it will.
Okay, I think I maybe accidentally saw the first one. Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, exactly. Can I just say, like, the lack of cultural relevance that like...
Well, I feel like Lethal Weapon 2 is pretty big, because it had, like,
But, like, have you seen...
this, like, massive mullet.
Have you seen anybody actually talk about those movies?
No.
Exactly.
I haven't seen any of them.
Exactly, like, nobody actually cares.
My friend in the house talks about it. But, like, wow, one guy.
The next one is, everything surrounding the film is way more interesting than, in my opinion, the film itself. Mostly because of the people who made it. One of those people was Harvey Weinstein, was a great star. And the kind of like...
What a guy.
Whole thing at the Oscars, like the whole Best Picture thing. It is an adaptation. Oh, it's not actually an adaptation.
Did it win Best Picture?
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan?
No. It's the one that people thought Saving Private Ryan was going to beat, if that makes sense.
Oh.
And it's to do with Shakespeare. It's in the title.
It's in the title?
Yes.
Love and Shakespeare.
You're so close.
Love in Shakespeare.
Shakespeare in Love. Oh. Not Love in Shakespeare. Not getting it the complete opposite way around.
That counts.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so the next one is...
Shakespeare in Love.
The next one is a movie starring...
that won the Oscar?
Yeah, it was kind of the thing where, like, everybody kind of thought... And the whole thing where Miramax were, like, apparently they were kind of... they lobbied for it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So the next one is a comedy starring... Well, if I give away the star, it's real easy. It's a movie that has been... remade three times. The remake came out 5 years ago. Six years ago with Robert Downey Jr. And the original starred Rex Harrison?
Doolittle.
Yes.
The original Doolittle.
Yeah, but what's it called?
Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I don't care about the Dr. Doolittle franchise like one bit. Because
it's kind of sucks.
I don't know, man. I don't care. The next one is... a movie from
Oh my god, I forgot Eddie Murphy did a Doctor Dude, the original one.
Yeah.
I've seen like two of those and they both are just not great.
Yeah, they're not here. I haven't seen the Doolittle. I have not heard good things about
it. It's mediocre. Well, I think remade is quite a strong word. It's not really remade. It's not the same film. It's based on the same book.
Okay. That whole trilogy of the original Doctor Doolittle from the 60s with Rex Harrison, that the one from the 90s and the one from like a few years back, that's it's not like connected in any way.
It's just the same.
It's
book.
Just like the kind of idea of a doctor who can, you know.
Well, they all have the same name.
Yeah, but. Exactly. The next one is a Disney animated film.
From 1998.
Crazy. people know it. Yeah. It's a musical.
Oh God.
Little
Mermaid. Oh my God.
Should I give away? Okay, so
can't just say it's a musical Disney movie. Wow, we're really cutting it close.
I know, but it's one from the 90s, and it's like I don't know what I could say. It's one set in no, that's too easy.
Give me a cast member.
Okay. Excuse me.
No. Oh, Mulan.
Yes. Yeah. So Mulan. I was gonna say like. Ancient. I don't think that's a musical. It's pretty cool.
Mulan's got some problems.
It's not perfect, but like, it's like, it's Mulan. I'm not gonna why are you hating on it?
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay, the next one is, here's another movie that like was so big, but like nobody talks about. It's a disaster movie. Well, that's
wait,
many
where
of
are
those.
We now?
We're in number five.
Armageddon.
No.
Ugh. Pretty sure Armageddon was number one.
Starring Tia Leone, Robert Duvall, Elijah Wood.
That's a weird combination of people.
Yeah, I'm not. Should I just give it to you? Because you're not going to get it.
Elijah Wood?
Yeah.
Didn't realize he did anything else.
Yeah, I know, me either. Deep Impact.
Never heard of it ever.
You never heard of Deep Impact? I've never seen it. I just don't care.
Oh, it's an asteroid movie.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's one of those, you know, disaster movies of the time.
Morgan Freeman's in it?
I guess.
Well, or maybe that's not Morgan Freeman. That
no, it isn't Morgan Freeman.
Oh, he is in it. I was about to say, that would be really bad if I did not.
Yeah, so the next one is the second film from Pixar. It's really one of the forgotten ones, honestly. It's probably one of that...
Robots?
No, that's...
19.
Blue Sky. It's out of that original group of movies that they made, it's the one that I think it's the only one that doesn't have like any follow-ups, and it's the only one, and it's really the one that just like people kind of forget and don't really think about. There was this kind of thing.
Can you give me some clues?
Jeez, man, like how do I give away any clues? It's about like really small
ants, A Bug's Life.
Bug's Life. Yeah,
it's kind of good.
Yeah, that scene where it's like it's bad.
The scene where he's like, ants aren't meant to serve hornets.
Oh no, but that stuff is actually no. But it's like
communism.
If they find out that they're stronger together, that goes our way of life. Like no, that's actually like
genius.
That's actually like way more.
That's so deep.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is a comedy. The third film from the Farley Brothers after Dumb and Dumber and Kingpin. Stars Cameron Diaz, Matt Dillon,
Bugsy Malone.
What? No. it's like a really it's a really famous one, and it's a really good one.
Farley Brothers.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about these guys last week.
We when we did Ace Ventura and we talked about Dumb and Dumber. It's really it's the if I was it's because I didn't have that kind of hair to do it, but like if I was it's like. Like the hair is like, you'll know.
Oh, the it's the kids, the Rugrats.
No. It's like the woman Mary, and it's like Mary. Come
something
on.
Something about Mary.
Yes. Have you never seen the thing with the hair? Have you ever seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god, jeez, man, like you're missing out. The next one is
the thing with the hair. I have seen the hair.
So the next one.
Well, you could have helped me out with Ben Stiller.
Oh yeah, but that would have been too easy. okay, so the next one is it's a remake that like nobody actually ever thinks about of a kaiju.
Godzilla?
Yes, Godzilla.
That's the only kaiju that would have been remade. Yeah. So like they're going to be like, what's it called? The flying eye thing.
That was too easy. I'm sorry. I don't know this stuff that well. It was. Yeah. Wait, what? It's Godzilla. It's called kaiju. I thought that was just kind of the general term for those kind of movies.
Well, no, that is a...
Okay. The next one is a movie that we've already talked about.
Hedorah's gross, bro.
The next movie is one that we've already talked about.
No, kaiju is a general term for giant monster. Isn't it Japanese for giant monster?
Yeah, but like when people say kaiju, they mean like Godzilla. When they're trying to sound smart, I guess. The next one.
Beast or strange creature.
Yeah, the next one is a movie from... The next one is a war movie from Steven Spielberg.
I wonder which one.
Well, he's made like 3, so, you know, take your pick. No, I was thinking about 1941.
War Horse. What is it? 1941 and Schindler's List.
Yeah.
And...
We already talked about it. People thought we're going to win Best Picture.
It's Armageddon.
Yes. That's the one that people thought we're going to win Best Picture that year. Spielberg even won Best Director again. But
nope, Harvey Weinstein was locked in on getting that Oscar.
Exactly.
and other things.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Google at your own discretion. I feel like a lot of the people we talk about on the show accidentally are just Google at your own discretion.
It's not even like accidental. Like, we know.
I didn't pick cars. I was thinking like,
yeah, okay, that one. Like, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about him. Like,
yeah. You know, I've never seen Saving Private Ryan.
Neither have I. Everyone says like,
I've seen the first 20 minutes.
The first 20 minutes is horrifying. And then
is it as bad as
Hacksaw Ridge?
I have not seen Hacksaw
Ridge. No.
Hacksaw Ridge, there's a scene where a Japanese guy hugs an American soldier with a bomb on his chest and just blows them both up.
No, but it's like, it's genuinely just like constant chaos for the first 20 minutes that does not stop.
Only Spielberg could do it.
I know, and it's like...
Because if it was like Scorsese, there'd be like Mr. Sandman playing in the background.
But like there is no music, no anything. It's just like the purest example of the like war sucks.
No, Come and See is supposed to be the worst for that.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, there's, like, some very, very, like, graphic, bad war scenes in that.
Saving Private Ryan is pretty intense.
Yeah, and it's crazy how, again, this is a time where, like, a movie like that, an original movie like that, could make $500 million.
Oh, I didn't realize Come and See It was...
Top 2 movies of that year. That is...
I didn't realize Come and See was from 1985. I thought it was, like, newer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thanks
for listening. If you haven't seen this, I don't know why you're listening. We'll go watch it.
Yeah, go watch it. It's
I feel like we didn't actually talk about Rushmore.